in the sling. Pull in the sling. Pull in the sling. Pull in the sling tech show.
Happy New Year!
Happy New Year's.
Good evening and welcome to the very first edition in 2004 of the Linux Link Tech Show. This is our second year in running and boy are we partying hard. What we'd like to do first off before we get into this slew of things we'd like to talk to you about tonight, because of course we missed the last 2 weeks, is to go through our standard spiel and make sure that you all can have an opportunity to join us on IRC. Again, join us on IRC using your favorite IRC client. Point your server to the linuxlink.net and then join us at channel pound tech show. And we'll talk to you in just a minute.
Hi folks, this is Link from the Linux Link Tech Show. Have you ever thought to yourself, I have a question for these guys? Or I wonder if they would review my product? Or why don't they talk about this? Or maybe I sure would like to support these fellas somehow? Or just, how do I get in touch with them? Well, the easy answer is to email us at techshow@thelinuxlink.net. You can let us know any questions, suggestions, or information you might have, and perhaps even get mentioned on the show. Email us at techshow@thelinuxlink.net and let us know how we're doing and whether or not you enjoy the show. And also, catch us on IRC every Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern by pointing your favorite IRC client to our server, thelinuxlink.net, and joining Channel Pound Tech Show. Hope to see you there.
Hey, hey, Dan cutting in here. Do you have any questions, comments, complaints? Don't like what Alan said last time? Feel free to email us at techshow@thelinuxlink.net. Do you live in or around Bethlehem, Pennsylvania? Plan on being in the area some Wednesday night? If so, and you would like to join us in the studio, we would love to have you. Again, email us at techshow@thelinuxlink.net. Linux is a community project. Being a community project, it tends to foster regular gatherings of Linux enthusiasts who collectively call themselves Linux users groups. Chances are, there is a Linux users group in your area. We here at the Tech Show belong to the Lehigh Valley Linux users group, so if you hail from the area, come join us. Membership is free and fraught with fun. If you're new to Linux, then consider checking out our sister organization, the Linux Special Interest Group, run by LVLUG member Jeff Zartler. The Linux SIG caters to newbies and runs hands-on labs. If you are south of us, be sure to look up the Bucks County Linux Users Group or the Philadelphia Linux Users Group. Those to the east, there is the New Jersey Linux Users Group. More information can be found at thelinuxlink.net, which strives to be the unofficial portal to Linux and Linux happenings in the Lehigh Valley. If you find yourself in one of those rare locations that is not conveniently near any Linux users group, get your name and desires out there on the web. Contact the closest lugs, and chances are you will find neighbors who are looking to get together. All you need is a few enthusiastic people and a place to meet, be it a living room, basement, library, or local pub. You will meet new people, learn some stuff, and have boatloads of fun. So remember, support your local users groups. Finally, we here at the Linux Link Tech Show thank you for listening and hope you enjoy this episode as much as we enjoyed putting it together.
Hi, and welcome again to the, what I believe is the 14th episode of the Linux Link Tech Show, the very first for the year 2004. Again, we want to wish you a very happy new year and Merry Christmas and all those happy things too. And Sorry we missed you the last couple weeks, but hey, everybody's got to take vacation. My name is Link, and I am one of your hosts anyway for the Linux Link Tech Show, and we want to thank you for listening. You're the two hosts here, being, of course, the ever-popular Dan Washko and our own mixmaster, Alan Metzler. How you doing, guys?
Hello, hello.
How you doing?
Happy New Year's to everybody.
Wow, you should see the enjoyment and the rejuvenation
the
that these men are.
Enthusiasm.
That's right. They're displaying in here.
I'm happy
hard
to be here.
Contain, man.
It's just your mouth rattling off.
Well, that's why. It's because you didn't want to do it. That's why.
But now we're talking. The rest of us will be able to talk.
All right. Well, I give you plenty of chances to talk. I just wanted to do a little lead in and tell everybody. I hope they had a nice vacation and a Merry Christmas and. An uneventful but happy New Year's Eve. And love to go over some of the cool stuff that's going on in the 2 weeks that we've been off the show. And pretty much I'll open it wide open. Anybody have anything wonderful they want to clue us in on?
There's somebody that looks different on the chat.
Somebody looks different on the chat.
Cole Fusio.
Welcome.
Yeah, however you say that, hey, how you doing?
What?
What? I don't know. We've put together a whole bunch of course, we've got this giant topic list of things to talk about tonight.
Who's we?
Well, we, me.
It's the Link Show.
I came prepared. This is the Link Tech Show tonight. But no, I put this whole big topic list of things to talk about tonight and, you know, hopefully some good things that'll rattle themselves off into future topics for the rest of the year. But that all depends on what else goes on tonight and what everybody else has to say, and you know, make sure I give Dan a chance to air out some of his thoughts on that.
Thoughts for this evening.
I think I'm finished with that for now.
Air's getting a little stale in here, in case you're interested.
It was a nice holiday break. Sure. Kind of missed doing the show. I listened to another show over the holiday break.
I don't know, like a tech show type of thing?
It was a tech show that... Now I'm drawing a blank on it. That guy who sent us an email, he has a whole repository of tech show links.
Yes.
And it was a show that's been... It's not Tech Talk. Maybe it was Tech Talk. It's broadcast on an AM station and on a Saturday or a Sunday, I think it was. It was all right. A lot of commercials, though. They're interesting stuff. It's always nice to listen to what other people are doing and compare it against Alan.
Yeah.
the coffer to see.
Our silent partner. That's what it is. Yeah.
Well, most of the time, I'm sure when I have something good to say.
If you've seen Alan's blog, you'll know how silent he's been.
That's right. You know, we've been picking on him because, you know, of course, the rest of us have kept up with the world and are actually talking about. Even Dan posted to his blog after a month.
I was going to say, it took a month.
I posted every day this week so far, except tonight, because tonight's not over.
And then we had to do work. Had to bust on Alan a little bit because we've been waiting for all the interesting happenings in his life to be posted out for the world to read, and of course he hadn't. Either he doesn't have an interesting life, or he just decided not to post.
Well, it's a little bit of the first one there, but I've had 2 weeks off from work, so I haven't done anything worthwhile to actually post anything on. I did upgrade the laptop to Slackware now.
Hey,
from Red Hat.
Cool.
I'm quite happy with it.
Alan has now become part of the team.
Part of the team. I have one little problem to get through on it, and other than that, everything seems to be running good on it.
None of that, like you're not running Debian or anything, are you?
I was going to actually try Debian on here to put it on there, but I ended up with the Slack disk, so I decided to use that instead.
Cool.
Time I learned that one again.
I keep waiting for... Since I made the Debian comment, I know there's a lot of people on our IRC chat that really like Debian.
Heavy Debian.
Yeah, heavy Debian fans, so I pick on them back and forth. And I'm waiting right now for like the 2-minute lag for them to actually hear our live conversation and start going, Debian, what do you mean? What's wrong with Debian? And I'm waiting. The countdown is still going, but you know it's going to happen. Anyway,
well, I kicked around the idea of doing that one.
Yeah.
Just because I had the discs and everything. And I've, like I said, I've run it on the Macs that I have.
Oh, man, it
works really well.
I've been trying unsuccessfully now still to get Debian running on a machine at home. Now, granted, I haven't put it on a really good machine, mm-hmm. you know. I have this old crusty P90 laptop that I was going to put it on, and in fact, I did try and put it on there. There we go, Debian, what's wrong with Debian? We got it, just came up. The lag is through. But no, I tried to put it on this P90 laptop that I have. And this is like an old laptop. It has a CD-ROM drive, but it just will not boot from this CD-ROM okay. drive. You have to do like a floppy install beforehand. And I put I made the little Debian, the little boot and root floppy things for Debian, and I put them in, and I started it up. And, it started up the install just fine. The problem is I couldn't get any more media on there because it wouldn't initialize the PCM CIA card, the okay. network card. And in order to do that, you look on the Debian site, there's like 4 more floppy disks. And like 6 floppy disks is way too freaking many for me. You know what I mean? That's more effort than I want to put into it, sort of thing. So then I went and tried FreeBSD, and I tried 2 different versions of FreeBSD. I tried the 4.9 and the 5.2 that they have out. Neither one of them would even boot the kernel on this laptop. And then I was really getting pissed off, so I figured, all right, I'll go back to something that I know I can get running on there. And I grabbed NetBSD, the 2 NetBSD floppies for 161, slapped them in. It was going, you know. Half an hour later, I had a fully functioning system with, a couple of extra packages that I installed on there to boot. And it's still sitting there running NetBSD, man. So far, Debian has not been doing well, I must say, with my install tests.
I guess I consider myself pretty lucky because even on the Macs, I really only had to use 2 floppies. Yeah.
I did try and do it on a Mac once, and that failed miserably.
It could have been a memory requirement
or something like that. It just really didn't work well.
Well, I know the documentation for the Mac install mm-hmm. is. It's all there. It's just not all in one place. I found that I had to bounce around. It's one of those things where you're sort of expected to like have the whole manual in front of you, and bounce back and forth. It took me several times on the one machine before I realized, not to follow all the instructions through. About halfway through, you bounce over to another page, mm-hmm. which is installing the bootloader. Because it boots up in Mac first and then mm-hmm. goes over to, you get a choice between Mac and Linux at that point.
Okay.
And then you install the bootloader there. That was what was screwing me up because I'm reading through the instructions. I get to the end, I run the command, and I forget what the command is off the top of my head to get it all, to finish it up. And suddenly I've got, an hour's worth of work, and I can't do anything at that point.
Right.
Besides restart from the beginning again.
Right.
And like I said, once I realized you sort of have to bounce back and forth in the instructions, the PC side was a whole lot better. You can just start at mm-hmm. one page and read through the whole first page, and that pretty much will tell you all you need to know.
What I'm hoping is that, when I actually do get a chance to sit down and put a monitor on this desktop box that I have, I'm going to try and install it on there because the thing boots from a CD-ROM, so I can get it, I can get a CD install image and put it on there. And I'm hoping that everything will work itself right through nice and easy, and I can have the wonderful, enjoyable experience that everybody else has seemed to have with that particular version of Linux. And I've been missing out on every damn install.
Another thing, if you're doing it for a system that can boot, is to use the Nofix and then install the Nofix, which is basically
But I don't want Nofix. I want to get the Debian system, the whole from ground up Debian okay. thing. And I'm still working on it. Like, I haven't given up yet. I just have given up pretty much on my laptop, on my old laptop, because I just wasn't happy about booting. I wasn't happy about trying to do six floppy disks. That's it's too much for me to concentrate on all at one time, and I don't have that much patience, I guess. Because, you know, I mean, seriously thinking now, back in the day, right, when we all first started using computers, and I'm going to date us a little bit here, like, we're not all old guys, but we're not, you know, 20 years old either. But back in the day when we first started using computers, like, the big thing out was that the hottest thing was the 386 and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And this is back when I was in college. Yeah. When I hit college, man.
The 8088 is where I started.
Well, I'm talking when I hit college.
Oh, yeah,
when I hit college, the slamminest thing out there was a 386. And, I mean, this was like a month after everybody in the hardware world announced that there is no way they can break the 286 barrier. Believe it or not, they did say this. No way you can break the 286 barrier. And what the hell would you do with a computer that fast?
Well,
you know,
you'll never need more than 640K.
Yeah, you'll never need more than 640K in memory. Anyway, they came out with this 386, which was just, you know, it was just the coolest thing in a box for the day. And when you used to have to install software on these 386, if you were lucky enough to, like, get a hard drive with it, you used to have to put everything in by floppies, right? Because they hadn't even really come out with CD-ROMs yet, or at least functional ones,
oh, yeah.
You know?
Solid,
so you loaded everything in by floppy.
DOS was six or seven of them at the
time. And it was nothing but a thing, right? Because that was the only media you had to get it on there. I mean, we're not talking like big computer centers that had 9-track drives and crap like that. We're just talking PCs, and the way to get your stuff on was floppy. So everybody had these big, gigantic collection of floppies, and that's what you did. You spent your time poking floppies in and on the floppy drive. Well, today, things are a whole lot different. And then when you were happy with poking, you know, I remember loading OS2 on a machine. It took 24 floppies or something like
yeah.
that. You know, and I was happy as hell to sit there and do that all day long. It took like 8 hours, you know. Now I just can't stand it.
OS2 Warp I had at one time, and I didn't have a CD. Mm-hmm. That, you know, well, I had a CD drive, but it was one of these, you know, oddball ones that, you know, nothing really read, you know, worked on it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I got the CDs that came, or the floppies that came along.
Right.
And, you know, it was like 24 or 25 floppies. And
did?
Feed it in, you know, several hours later, you've got a copy.
Definitely, definitely. But now, like now, you're dealing with operating systems that you want to get, you know, you want to stuff 2 or 3 gig on a hard drive as fast as you possibly can so you can get about your business. And can you imagine sitting there trying to do that with floppy disks, man? It would drive me crazy. And that's, this
2 gigs worth of floppies.
Yeah, this is the same problem I have with floppy disks. Plus the fact that the thing that I'm noticing now that you can get information back and forth so fast is that you're talking like 8 megs worth of information on 7 floppies or
yeah.
6 floppies. About 8 megs yeah. on 6 floppies. And those things are so damn slow. No, like I used to think they were wicked fast.
Yeah, 3.5,
you know?
Wow.
Because I went to like 386s in school, but I came from Commodores, like Commodore 64, and that had the, like, you can look it up in the Guinness World Book of Records, man. That had the slowest floppy drive in the world.
Yeah.
So you would, you know, you was put in a 40K
quote 8,
40K program in there, man, and you would wait an hour for that sucker to load, and then you went into, you know, to
you
the 286.
To flip it over,
yeah, you flip it over. You go to the 286 and 386 lab in college, and you're getting a meg, you know, a meg and a half almost the data off of these 3.5-inch floppies, and you're getting it off in like a minute or two. Or 5 even, and I just thought that was wickedly cool. But now, when I go back with a stack of 6 floppies and want to put it in there, and it takes 5 minutes a floppy to get this stuff on the drive, notwithstanding the point that you have to download those 6 floppy images and then use DD to write them on the floppies, which takes forever,
yeah.
You know, this is just too big of an investment for my time. So, what I want to do was what I wanted to do was, you know, I got a desktop system at home that I'm playing with getting working. Once I get that working, I will actually download the ISO image. And I'll leave it up to you folks on the IRC to recommend what ISO image I should get, whether I should get the full install or just the little. You can get one of those little mini ISO images, right?
For deep. I'm not sure, to be
honest.
Something's
like 100 meg ISO image just to install, because it starts the... What I guess, what I'm getting is you really want to do the actual install of the packages over FTP, because I guess that sets up all your apt-get stuff to go to the right sources, instead of pointing back to the CD.
Yeah, because, well, you can have your choice. If you're doing a CD install, you do have your choice as to whether to tell it to look at the
CD. But if I'm going to tell it to go over FTP and get the stuff, then why do I have to have all the extra bags on the CD?
Well, I don't know if there's a smaller image. I know I have the Debian set. You know, all the CDs, if you want a copy of it, I can get to you.
But yeah, I'll have to try. I think I got to scrape up another monitor somewhere first. Got this little 9-inch black and white jobby, but I don't think that's going to cut it.
There you go. Network installs from a minimal CD.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about right there. But anyway, I've just sat here and, you know, blabbed my mouth for approximately 20 minutes already. And Dan's been over there, you know, I don't know. Are you naked, Dan? What's
looking at the history of AT&T and Bell.
Cool.
At Western Electric. I'm paying very close attention to what's going
on.
I
bet you are,
yeah. Tell.
I keep hearing these little sounds of...
No,
I think I'm boring him a little bit, man.
There was something going on the chat a while ago.
Yeah, you see him. He's leaning up against the back of the wall.
Somebody's using
Verizon. Little trickle of drool coming out the corner of his mouth.
Some people use Verizon. Somebody's using Bell South. I was like, hey, weren't they, you know, somehow connected in the past? And they were.
Wow.
They all sprang from AT&T.
Very, very interesting. It's another one of those.
Everyone springs from
Yeah.
All these companies sprung from AT&T or Bell at one time.
And like I said, it would be interesting to see
a tree.
There
was nothing but Bell at one
Western
time.
Western Electric.
Yeah. It was Ma Bell, and, you know, everything else kind of came from there. It
would be interesting to see a tree of all the companies that came out of AT&T. And
probably end up looking like a bush. Or a tree.
A forest.
Yeah.
No doubt. But that brings up an interesting point that some of the listeners might like to hear about. On our, you'll notice, and kind of a new thing on our archive site, that we have now started carrying the chat logs from our conversations while the show is on. And there are sometimes a lot of interesting things that go on IRC. If you're not available to participate, and you just download the MP3 file to listen to in your spare time, by all means, look in that same directory, and there's going to be one called Chat Log for that date. Grab that, too, and you can see all the kinds of weird things that we talk about and people banter back and forth, and you get a lot of really good information that way, and don't want you to miss out on it, you know?
Yeah, and don't forget to thank...
Don't forget to thank Mellophone.
Mellophone.
Right? It was you, Mellophone. Mellophone got us the a couple of back chat logs that we didn't have before we started doing this.
I think there was a couple of people that offered that, didn't they?
I don't think it was just him.
Somebody else had.
I'm thinking.
Archives, too.
I don't know.
They had them in color.
No, it was Mellophone.
Oh, it was Mellophone?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure. But anyway, thanks a lot. You know, we have them on the...
Yeah, we really do appreciate it.
We have
it.
Them on the archive now, and they're cool, and it's neat to go back and reference all that fun stuff and check things out. And, oh, by the way, before I forget, let me see if I can find it. I think it was while we were on vacation, I got a really cool email, and I just wanted to return the favor here, if I can find it. I really didn't realize this, because we didn't advertise the show a lot, you know, and it's pretty much kind of been a word-of-mouth thing until we got it on this list. And I got an email from a gentleman by the name of Mike Carter a while back, and the thing that really got me about his email is and he was again helping me with my Debian problems, however you'd like to pronounce it. Mike Carter was helping me with that. The thing that I really thought was cool about it, though, is that Mike happens to be from Adelaide, South Australia. And I just wanted to, you know,
shout outs to Australia.
That's right. We wanted to give a shout outs to Australia and give you our version of "Hey mate" or whatever, and I just think that's pretty cool. And if you happen to listen to the show, and we don't know who you are, you're pretty sure we don't know who you are, because I get a lot of weird hits on my weblog, so I don't know who all these people are. If you happen to listen to the show and you download it, and please drop us an email at techshow@thelinuxlink.net, and let us know who you are and where you're listening from. I just think it's fascinating, And by the way, if you don't know exactly where we are, I don't know if we actually have it posted on the page somewhere.
Where we are.
We are.
We're here.
Yeah, we're here. Yeah. And if you're not here, you're there. But no, we're actually located. All of us here are located in the Lehigh Valley area of Pennsylvania in the United States of America, which is pretty much on the border of Pennsylvania and New Jersey. This is the far, far eastern middle Pennsylvania, right on the border of New Jersey, and that's where we hail from. That's where you're listening to. That's where you're downloading the archives from, and all that happy business. So, now if we sound weird or funny to you or some such thing, you know why.
Pennsylvania accent.
Pennsylvania accent. Well, my accent isn't Pennsylvanian because I'm from New York, but Alan over here, he's got the Pennsylvania accent,
Working on the little beard.
Yeah.
Working on my Amish beard.
Get the little Amish thing going on. And
you're a little naked on the sides of your face there, though.
Well, because it doesn't come in there.
Just like a baby's hiney. But no, at any rate, like I said, please do us a favor and drop us an email. Tell us you're listening to the show. Tell us who you are and where you're from. We'd love to know. I think it's pretty cool and fascinating, and I'm sure the other guys think it's pretty cool as well to find out that we have somebody actually that's not living, in the next town over that's listening to us. So,
someone who doesn't know us.
Right, someone who doesn't know us. Maybe that's a good thing, It'll go a ways. But anyway, what else we have that we're going on that we're talking about tonight? Dan, you're over there clicking away.
I was just looking for the Atari emulator.
All right, Dan's busy. Here's what I wanted to talk about. What I wanted to say was we have the Christmas list. Oh, yes. We have the Christmas list. One of the things I wanted to give mention to real quick was that I had a very techie Christmas, and I wondered if anybody else, any of the other guys had a techie Christmas. My wife really hooked me up this year. She went to the site of all sites for geeks. She went to Think Geek and bought me some really cool stuff. I got a binary blanket, which is this really cool fuzzy blanket, and has all these ones and zeros on it. And if you check it out, man, if you know binary, you read the ones and zeros, and they actually spell out the ASCII for blanket, which is really cool. it's really cool, man. And she also got me the lead binary clock from ThinkGeek, and that is really, really cool, too.
The lead?
Lead binary clock.
That's so Superman can't see through it.
That's right, man. It's impenetrable. But check that out, too. In fact, it's on sale, and it's just really neat, and it's nice for a geeky guy to have some kind of blinking lights going on, and that provides them for you. And then she also got me this Swiss Tech keychain tool, which is, I know you guys can't see it, but you guys can hit the website and look at it. But this is what it looks like, man. It's
the little screwdrivers, yeah.
Yeah, it's a keychain tool with little the wrenches and the screwdrivers and stuff on it. And you guys have all seen these. And this has, this has four of them on there, little wrenches and then four little screwdrivers. But the cool thing about this is that it's really, really rugged, and it's made by Swiss Tech. Now, I know everybody's seen these things, and they're, I've gotten a couple of them before, and they're really, really cheesy, and they break, every 10 minutes, or you strip them or something like this. This one from Swiss Tech is the deal, man. This is a good stuff. And it's got this great locking mechanism on it, so that when you put it on your key, like other things, the other ones have this little clippy thing at the bottom to lock it off. This one has the actual handles of the tool itself lock it on the keychain so that it cannot come off. It just is a cool thing, man. And it's a lifesaver. It's a lifesaver for me when I'm running around, you know, like a chicken with my head cut off at work trying to fix computers and stuff like that. It's really, really cool. But I would be interested as well to hear about any cool kind of techie gifts that any of the rest of you got. You guys... Alan,
not too much tech. I bought myself a DVD player because my
Apex
died.
DVD player is a techie thing, man.
Well, yes, it is. My Apex died, unfortunately. So I was using the PlayStation for a while, which is sort of a pain in the butt because you've got to use the controller to move around and stuff. Got a really neat LED flashlight, which, for as small as it is, it runs off of four AAAs. It's bright as all heck. Nice white light. It's really cool. Not a whole lot techie-wise. A couple Xbox games. Well, one of them. I think my Xbox is dying, though, so I got to take it back and get fixed. I think my CD drive is actually going on it, which is probably the problem I'm having when I try to install the Linux on it, which is probably why I can't do it. So I got to take the Xbox thing back and get repaired. But other than that, it's quiet. No, I think the CD-ROM is dying on it.
Oh. Is this why you can't get Linux?
I think this is the reason that I can't read anything on it. Yeah, because even the brand new, it was every once in a while you get the disk is dirty error, or this is not an Xbox disk, and I'm like, yes, I'm sorry, it is an Xbox disk.
That's not what it says on the label, buddy.
So I have to take it back to Electronic Boutique. I bought the extended warranty on it, figuring I was going to play around with it anyways.
Oh, yeah.
There's
nothing wrong with that.
I just got to box it all. Probably this weekend I'll take it back and say, fix this.
How about
I
you,
heard
Dan?
Microsoft is losing money like hand over fist on the Xbox.
It is supposedly is a loss item for them.
Like
they
most
figure
of their
on,
technology
they,
is
they,
a
they
loss
They figure
item.
On making their money back.
No, seriously.
Well,
most of it is. They just make a ton on their operating system and Office to balance that loss or write off that loss as not a loss.
Well, there's a book out, Hacking the Xbox, which I've been reading. And he says there that that's pretty much what everybody figures is, you know, besides the fact that it's a huge loss to them. They lose money every time they sell one. What they're figuring on is hooking on everybody on the Xbox Live. Because they give it away, I think it's—I forget exactly when it's like free for a small period of time, and then they figure they've hooked you on it, and then they'll make their money back on that. It's sort of like MSN.
Yeah, buy a computer, get $400 rebate, but you have to pay for MSN for 9 years.
Yeah.
But yeah. How about you, Dan? Did you get any good techie kind of gifts for Christmas?
It was kind of a low-tech Christmas for me. I got that Conan book.
Hey! Yeah, and I noticed you have your new Conan picture
on the blog.
Hanging out on the blog there. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, I really was really
ran into the shaver, too.
What's that?
You ran into a razor over there.
I ran into a razor, too. I did get Prince of Persia Sands of Time for the GameCube. It was an awesome game. Yeah. Really awesome. And, of course, some DVDs. Tenacious D, Complete Masterwork. Actually, that's not mine. I got that for my wife. That's
The truth comes out, man.
That's an awesome DVD, but...
Now you know if you want to know what Dan's wife is like, you just get that DVD and check it out, man. Woo!
And the wife. I also got the wife... The collector's edition of the Return, not Return of King, the Two Towers.
Cool.
Lord of the Rings, Two Towers. And I got the X-Men, too.
Yeah, man.
And the complete V miniseries.
Did you get one?
Well, we have, actually, this is a really good time for a break, folks. It is Over here on my clock, anyway, it is 9:37, so we could probably take a quick intermission, give you all a break real quick to go out and catch, grab some drink or go tuck your kids into bed or whatnot.
Yeah, that's what I got to go do, taking out my daughter.
We'll say hang on, and we'll catch you back here right after this song. Who's the song by, Dan? Do we know?
I forget. This is something I pulled in before the holidays.
Something you pulled in?
Before the holidays.
Is it actually a song? What does it say?
Yeah. What's the title? Dance of the Squids.
Dance of the Squids. Okay. Here we go with Dance of the Squids, and we'll be right back. Hang in there, and we'll catch you in a minute.
Thank you.
Hey, everybody. We're back. Yeah, I'll see if everybody turns on the mic.
The song's not over yet, Link.
It's not. It's over, man. Well, except for you. You know. We've got the human beatbox Dan Washko over here just doing his... Been sitting here doing his rendition and talking about all the things that he wanted to talk about but didn't have the time before the break. Dan?
That's right.
What you got, man?
We got some stuff to talk about. Talk about my adventures with grabbing some games, compiling them. I'm going to do about every 6 months. Go see what's new, what's updated, what's cool with bytes. But I'm not really going to go into too much detail about those this week. Maybe next week. There's a new BZM... what is it? BZ Flag. BZ Flag out.
Yeah, man.
That's pretty cool.
We got to do that sometime soon.
Now, if you go out to Linux packages and grab GL Pool, no, Foo Billiard. I'm sorry, Foo Billiard. It's a 3D pool game.
Right.
You know, pool table and everything. It's networkable.
Cool.
I was playing some the other night. It was really cool, but not networked. I was just playing some the other night.
Oh, well, we got to do a network. You know, one of the things that, you know, we do a lot of really strange computer things, and we got groups going, you know, like the tech show, and we help support the Lehigh Valley Computer Group, Special Interest Group for Linux, and we have our own Linux user group out here that we do, and, you know, this and that and the other thing. One of the things that we really don't have going on is, like, you know, we should have, like, a monthly LAN party somewhere or something like that where we can all get together and jack into a connection somewhere and just beat the hell out of each other with, you know, BZ Flag or something like that. It would be a lot of fun.
Yes, it would. It would be. Mm-hmm. The Tech Show Frag.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah, we should set something like that up. And, you know, for those of you who are listening on the show and are local, drop us a note and let us know if you'd be interested in participating in something like that. Maybe we can hook something up.
Well, more on to the topic I was going to talk about.
Dan said he's buying the pizza.
With Link's money, yeah. I'll call him up and you can pay.
Mm.
Anyway, I was doing a lot of compiling this past weekend. And one of the big things with gaming software out there, a software development kit called ClanLib, and I was compiling that, and I ran into a problem with libpng.
Mm-hmm.
It kept telling me libpng wasn't there. And I found that the libpng that's compiled for Slackware is not compiled properly with the zlib libraries.
Ooh. So yeah, you just read, what'd you do, just remove the library and recompile and reinstall?
Well, no, it's not. I'm not going to go so far as to say it's Slackware's fault.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, I wasn't the one who discovered. I mean, I found out that it wasn't, and then I saw that somebody else had found out that it wasn't. And what they had done was, you can clearly see the error messages in the config log of ClanLib and whatever other program this guy was compiling, about zlib headers missing and everything. And he compared the LD output of libpng on a Debian box with Slackware, and the Slackware box did not have the zlib libraries. It wasn't compiled properly with the zlib libraries. And I did it with the SUSE box from work, and I found the same thing. Well, I went out and grabbed libpng for myself, and I compiled it myself, and I had the same problem. And I just kept compiling this thing, trying to figure out why it would not compile with libpng support. And unfortunately, you know, one of the things that I have found in the past, if I have a problem compiling something, sometimes I'll go over to the Debian ports and packages page, and I'll look at their make files, because they usually list little patches or whatever they've added to make the software compile properly. And sometimes that works. But the Debian site was down this week, and I couldn't look at their packages to get some more information. And I was striking out there, so I went and I downloaded an older version of libpng And I compiled that, and I saw that it compiled properly. So I started looking at why there might be some differences here. And I found that the make file, now if you never compiled libpng, basically there's a scripts directory and then there's a make file for various different distributions. Well, the make file for Linux was foobarred. They were missing some stuff in the make file. So I added those things into the make file, compiled it, and I had a successful compile of libpng.
So did you make a Slack package out of that?
Yes, I made a Slack package out of that. Of course I did.
And did you upload it to Linux packages?
No. Well,
Come on, Dan.
No, well, here's the thing. I posted on
Linux
packages.
Here he is, giving the fix for everything in the world, but you got to like hunt him down and know his email address in order to get it. Come on, dude.
But, well, you're right. Well, I posted on the Linux packages forum about this, and somebody else had said, yeah, you're right. And he had some make file that he got or a patch from another company. And I had sent email or tried to send email to developers of libpng, and I eventually got one to go successfully through to a group, but I haven't heard anything back from them. Now, this guy said he emailed Patrick about it, and he never heard anything as to whether he accepted it or was going to look into it, but so far
hasn't been changed.
You
know, it'll pop right out in the next release and everything.
Well, it's not in there yet. It's a really simple fix, too.
You just change the make file.
Yeah, that's all you have to do. Anyway, I was just thinking to myself, after I'd done that, it was pretty cool to be able to have access to the sources and solve a problem like that, you know.
Which is something that, if it was closed, you wouldn't have been able to do.
Right, you wouldn't be able to do that. You know, to be able to share those things with people. Because you're right, I could upload it to Linux packages or make it available as a download from my own site or whatever to fix it. And that's what's really cool. Can't do that on Windows.
That would be really cool.
That would be really cool.
If you were to do that. I mean, it's cool that you can, but, you know, let's take it a step further and, you know.
And that got me thinking, you know, this whole thing, Debian rants that you go down and everything. And it got me thinking as to why I use and originally chose Slackware. Now, I started off on Red Hat, like
as everybody else did.
And I always heard how...
Actually, I started off on SCO Open Server 5. But
I always heard how Slackware Linux was the Linux that you're going to... the distro that you're going to learn Linux from if you use it. So that's what I wanted to do. And I had to compile all the software myself, you know, stuff like that. But before I started using Slackware, I stupidly went down the route of compiling a lot of software for Red Hat.
Right.
Now, I said to myself, well, I can go and install X and GNOME to the RPMs, but I want to learn how this stuff works. I'll install them all from the sources. I'll compile them myself, do it myself, and that worked great. But lo and behold, if you go down that route, you have to stay on that route, or you did back then.
Right.
Because if you ran into a problem with something that you wanted and you couldn't compile it, you say, well, I'll just grab the RPM. Well, you grab the RPM. The RPM
checks
the
dependencies doesn't know whether they're there because you compiled the program by yourself. Yeah.
Yeah, come back, you know.
Not to mention the fact that, you know, along the way, Red Hat did stuff like changing their C compiler and, you know, all of that.
Well, that was the kicker for me. I mean, I was running Slackware as the server for a long time and still using Red Hat a little bit there, but when they killed the compiler, but it wouldn't compile the kernel properly, and you had to use the KCC, I think it was, compiler, that was the end of Red Hat for me. Now, I didn't have the bad falling out with Red Hat that you did. We parted amicably and went our own ways.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. That's why I have stuck with Slackware. And I'm not sure whether any of that has changed with RPM or Debian's package system. That, you know, I like to compile my software from the sources.
Well, you know, the Debian people are going to tell you that you can do that there, too.
But yeah, you can, but how does that affect the package management?
The thing that I think is that whether or not that affects package management, like, you could always go back to doing the Slackware thing and just, you know, compiling the packages and installing them yourself. the thing that I think sets Slackware apart from a lot of the other ones is everybody thinks that like Slackware is the bad Linux to use because it's hard. It doesn't have any of those nice utilities like Debian has apt-get and Red Hat, and all the others have the nice GUI little configuration tools and stuff like that. But I really don't, you know, after using a whole lot of different Unixes and versions of Linux and stuff like that, I really have come to appreciate Slackware's, I guess it's simplicity. You know what I mean? It may not have a whole bunch. Like, you can get the fancy applications on there. You can get an apt-get clone for Slackware, and you can...
Slackget.
Yes, Slackget or something like that. And you can get GUI configuration utilities or web-based configuration utilities and stuff and put that on Slackware, and they work just as fine as they do on any other distribution. But Slackware is nice and simple to get around on and make things work by yourself. And once you have that, you know, and it really isn't as hard as it sounds. Once you have that little bit of basic knowledge behind it, you can easily take that knowledge and apply it to any other distribution of Linux and many other distributions of Unix. And that knowledge is directly applicable, and it's just a real nice background to have. And, I really appreciate that. The more different types of Unixes and different distributions of Linux that I do have the opportunity to try.
I didn't think, when I installed it on the laptop, it was painless pretty much. I had no problems. I gave you an email about,
without a doubt.
How do we start this, or how do I find this? But
without a doubt, as a text-based installer that Slackware has, it is easier to use than many of the others that I have tried.
Like I said, my only problem so far with the laptop is the hot plug problem that I have, and we got to figure that one out yet still, but. Other than that, it's been run pretty well.
Yeah. And I remember your first comment to me after you installed it.
It sucks.
You said it's fast.
It's fast. It's actually killing my modem again.
Fast.
If I get on a good connection, a good pipe coming in into the modem, it actually overloads the modem and the modem dies on me.
Yeah, man.
If I go to the RCN news groups for my previewing of music that I do so often, it will kill that one on a regular basis. I'm seeing, where I was lucky to see 100K downloads, from what Pan was telling me, I'm 250, 300 now.
Oh, man.
And as soon as it hits those points there...
And the only difference is the same laptop, the same configuration.
Same everything.
Only difference is before you were running Red Hat.
Red Hat, yeah.
And now you're running Slackware, and he's getting three times the throughput.
So you mean actually your modem dies?
My modem will lose connection. I don't know if something in the my modem is screwed up still. They haven't fixed it yet. They thought they had fixed it, but I have to call them back and explain to them that they have to get their butts back out here again.
This is Alan's cable modem that's been struck by lightning three or four times and everything.
Well, something has died on it, and they just keep coming out, and they're like, oh, it's the upstream mode. I didn't have any problem with the upstream mode the last time. Then one of their excuses was their configuration for the modem was two-way at their site, and it's really only a one-way cable mode. So that was causing it to reboot itself on a regular basis. And it's like, just give me a new modem. That's what I want.
They won't give you a new modem?
Well, every time they keep coming out and say, oh, we think it's this. They test everything. They get on their, I forget what site, they have an internal site, and they run, 10 minutes worth of pings on it, and, everything's running fine. Yeah, but it's not running fine. It'll die as soon as you leave. And it's just regular. It's once a year I need a new modem from them, and it's a month of fighting with them to get it. If I can ever get DSL into the in the neighborhood, they're gone.
I wonder if anybody else has those kind of problems.
I don't know. They usually come out, when I do call them. It's not like I have problems with them. Because I'll call them up and they'll have somebody there in a day. Mm-hmm. So they, you know, they're very responsive to the problem, and the people that come out, you know, seem to sort of know what they're doing. I'm not saying that they don't or anything. It's a pain because I have to set up a Windows box for them.
Is, it the, is that baldish guy with the missing teeth that comes out?
I've had probably every RCN modem tech that they have come to my house. I should know him on a first name basis, but I don't. But you know, they'll come out. You know, they'll replace stuff. Like the last time, you know, he said, you know, we looked up all your configuration at the office, and you're set up wrong. So they reset everything. Came out. They unplugged the modem. Wait, you know, 10 minutes for it to actually die away, and plug it back in, and it seemed to work fine, and it did work fine for about a month. And then it's just now it's back to randomly rebooting itself, especially when you've got a high speed connection coming in.
So, in all honesty, when they come out, what is it that they need you to have Windows for? What do they do?
They usually don't do a whole hell of a lot. They won't. Basically, all they do is they fire up the computer. They go to their website. They have a test website. I've seen their URL. I don't remember off the top of my head. They run a couple of speed tests from there. The guy opens up a command tool, you know, console window or you know, run command on it, pings the site, and lets it ping for 5 or 10 minutes, and pronounces everything good.
So why do they have to have Windows to do that?
Because they don't support Linux. That's the answer that they'll give you. Technically, they don't support networks. So actually, I actually disconnect my whole network. I leave everything there because I'm like I refuse to hide everything on them because I just tell them, you know, when I'm done, I'm plugging it back in over here. Is that going to change anything? And the guy was like, no. And you know, of course, when it started dying again, I call him up and say, this is running through a router. Oh no, well, it's got the wrong IP address then. No, it's got the same one that you had before, but I guess they read down a list of things that could be wrong when they get you on the phone. I don't know how the call center works.
I just don't see why.
But yeah, they've tested the cable lines, so they've tested the phone lines.
Does he come out with a laptop?
He may have one in his car. He's never come into the house with one.
I was going to say, if they're going to require that, what if you said, I don't have a Windows box?
I think they will. If you tell them that you don't run Windows at all here, they will come out with a laptop and set it up and then leave you to your own devices. I've got an extra box floating around that has Windows on it for my wife's Longaberger stuff. So, you know, once a month it gets fired up, and you know, it's no big deal to move it over.
Is that how often they come out? Once a month?
It's about once a month, yeah.
Yeah, it's once a month. He's always had this problem.
Yep. I've had this problem for as long as I've had them, but unfortunately they're the only people that have high speed into my apartment building. So I'm sort of stuck with it. It's either that or go with one of those satellite systems, and they're
$100 a month, right?
Yeah.
Woo.
It's far too expensive for me.
That's a lot of bread.
It's just easier to call, tell them. And I've actually got to the point now where it's, you know, the last time I called on it, the guy was like, well, I see you know what you're doing. I'm just going to file a trouble ticket for you. So it was like, you know, I've done this, I've reset this, I've pushed a little button in the back of the cable box. You know, I've pretty much done everything your cable tech is going to do,
right,
and everything you're going to ask me to do.
Like that tech probably comes out and he has the magic eight ball that he rolls and says, okay, what am I going to tell Alan this week?
didn't they used to have a bastard...
A faulty cable on our end.
Didn't they used to have a... Do you guys remember they used to have this thing, a bastard operator from hell, it was an excuse list?
Oh,
there was a website you could go to.
You go to and get the excuses.
And you would get the excuse of the day, like solar flares or some kind of crap like that that you... That was hysterical. We're going to have to look that up sometime and put that in the references section because that was really funny, man. That's what I remember. It was like solar flares or
yeah,
something like that.
They had ones for everything.
It was cool.
Just keep clicking the random ones until you find a good
one. Yeah, it'd be funny when you just use that the rest of the day. Like, oh, what's wrong with the network? Solar flares. Yeah. Whatever. It was really
cool.
Well,
I've definitely got the solar flares at my house.
Yeah, man.
Solar. There's a solar flare right over your modem sink. It just keeps going right through it.
Right through it.
And when it's not a solar flare, it's a geyser.
Yeah, man.
Boom. Or an electrical arc.
Have an electrical problem on it at one time. They had a problem in one of their taps. In the winter, it's too close to the power lines to begin with. And I was getting AC coming over the shield of the cable. Because I had mentioned one time when I was on the phone to him, I said, I unplugged the cable, I plugged the cable and the power and everything. And when I plugged it back in, I got a shock. And they were like, oh, it's just probably static electricity. And the tech was out here. He goes, no, you're not supposed to get shocks from the cable. You plug it in and you'd actually see an arc coming off the cable. This is not right. And you try
to that's exactly what I want to be doing, right?
Sure. You explain to these people, and the one guy was telling me, oh, if you had it on there, it wouldn't make any difference to the cable modem. the thing is burning out right in front, and this is the same guy that the modem, he plugged the modem
in. It's burning out because the cable modem uses 9-volt DC, and it's getting 110 AC off of the cable.
It was hilarious because he plugged the cable modem in. It was a brand new one out of the box. I had to unwrap and take all the tape over it, so it was brand new. He plugged it in. It did about 5 pings and just shut off.
Yeah.
I was like, well, no, it can't be that. It's like maybe it's time to go to the Tech 2s now. Yeah. And actually, the second
to hook
level
up
tech
a,
was
yeah,
the
tell
one.
Tell them to hook up a multimeter to the cable and explain you exactly how it is that your cable is supposed to have 110 coming in off the circuit.
Well,
luckily
it wasn't 110. It was I think you guys said it was like 10 volts or something like that.
Well, still,
but
that's
it was
enough
still 10 volts. It wasn't supposed to be there.
That's still enough to screw you around.
Sir,
it's time.
Time for
it is time. It is Batman and Robin time.
Yeah.
Time to get naked and go swimming in the river. The time.
How about we just settle for my bathtub?
Yeah,
we'll cold
just,
out.
Just, we'll just get naked.
Can you imagine all of us in a bathtub naked together? Like
you first, Alan.
I don't even want to imagine that.
That'd be funny.
I've got some weird.
No, guys,
visions,
that.
That wasn't one of them.
Got some weird visions. Oh, man.
That wasn't one of them.
I'm going to be sick. Like, he's standing right behind me. That's all the time we have for this episode, which I think, like I said, I think. Is this 14 that we've done?
I think it's 14.
I think this is 14. It's either 14 or 15, but we've done, this is quite an accomplishment. It's like a milestone,
3 months,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know that.
We're doing really good with this, and I still think I'm having a lot of fun with it, and I hope you guys are too, and I hope you folks out there that are listening are getting a charge out of us bantering back and forth and sharing our little tech experiences with you and thoughts and ideas and stuff like that. And by all means, grab us here next week at the LinuxLink.net tech show.
Same bat time.
Yeah, same bat time, same bat channel. We'll be on at 9 o'clock again and be on for hopefully the duration because we don't have any imminent holidays coming up, do we?
Not this month, no.
We have Martin Luther King Jr. Day, but I don't think I'm going to take off for that day.
I don't even know when that is.
Yeah.
President's Day.
No, I think my kid gets off.
Yeah, the President's Day is on Monday, so.
Yeah.
I think my kid gets off.
Can't wait.
Yeah, we're off too, but I have to work.
Yeah.
I have to go into work tonight yet.
I almost did, man. I almost had to pull a 12 to 8 tonight, so. I do actually feel for you. But yeah, guys, we will see you, actually talk to you or talk at you next week or talk with you on IRC. Again, please join us. Spread the word around. Let your geeky, techie friends know that they should really check the show out and listen to us live if you can. Because, that's why the show sounds really stupid sometimes, because we do actually broadcast it live. And you people who get the recording are listening to a recording of us broadcasting live, and so on and so forth. But anyway, again, wishing you all a happy and successful new year. And I'm Link.
I'm Al.
I'm Dan. Don't forget, if you're in the area, LV Lugwe meeting next week.
That's right. Next week, Tuesday, right?
Tuesday. Moravian College.
Moravian College. And we have...
No topic.
Always be something, bang up, slam up for you, but we have no idea what yet. But
it's always a good time, even if there is no
There's nothing going on, we just come sit up with around something. And chew the rag, and there's always somebody who has a problem or a few questions that we can answer and have some fun with. And, you know, by all means, if you're into Linux and stuff and you're into Lehigh Valley, you really should try and show up.
All right.
But
happy
until
day.
Then, yeah, until then, until next week.
Thank you for listening. Hope we have a good turnout like we did this week, next week.
Yes, absolutely.
Stay warm if you're in this area.
That's right. It's really
warm.
I don't know.
If you're in Australia, maybe it's, isn't it summertime down there?
Yeah, it is.
Just remember, tomorrow will be colder in Alaska.
Yeah, tomorrow will be colder in Alaska, but only by
5 or 10 degrees, yes.
5 or 10 degrees. It's really cold here in Pennsylvania, but... All right, guys, have a good one, and good night, and we'll talk at you next week.
Good night.
Happy day.
Full end of Sling Tech Show.